In the name of Jesus. There's fire here. I almost couldn't recognize my friend. He was wearing spectacles today, but when he took the microphone, his voice was as anointed as ever. God bless you indeed. Lord, we ask that you help us this morning and be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. Turn your Bible to the book of John. Turn your Bible to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 1, verse 19. I heard this is a minister's conference. Touch my friend. I heard this is a young minister's conference. All right, so God bless you. Thank you so much for keeping the fire and for providing leadership. The Lord will cause his face to shine on you in Jesus' mighty name. So we are looking at ministry essentials for young ministers. Ministry essentials for young ministers. I want to invite us to John chapter 1 verse 19. It says, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then art thou? Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we might give an answer to them that sent us? What seest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Now, my emphasis for this conference is an emphasis of identity. Identity. So all the issues that we are going to be discussing during the course of this lecture has to do with your identity. The Bible says that the Levites, they sent people to John the Baptist. John the Baptist became a harbinger of performances, of kingdom things, and he brought several announcements of the mind of God. And the children of Israel are not spiritually ignorant people. They understand that their God knows the future. And because he knows the future, there is a layout of events that should build up to the manifestation of the Messiah. So they understand the sequence of things as it is supposed to come to pass, because they were sons of the prophets. They knew that Elijah will have to manifest before the great and the dreadful day of God. They also knew that Moses said that it will come to pass that the Lord will raise a prophet in the house of Israel like unto me. So there were two people that they were looking to meet: the prophet like unto Moses, and also one that was a carrier of the spirit of Elijah. And so they came to John the Baptist when they saw the kind of things that he did. They said, are you Elijah? Now, I want to move us in scripture a little this morning. I thought that God will give us understanding. When they asked him if he was the Christ, he said no. They asked him if he was Elijah, he said no. They asked him, okay, are you that prophet? Because Moses operated in the shadow of the Messianic spirit. And there was a prophet like Moses. according to his prophecy that was going to rise in the house of Israel. That they wanted to know John the Baptist's identity consistent with prophecy. Hallelujah. Like every one of you here has an identity that is consistent with prophecy. And so when God begins to unveil your destiny to you, he attaches a scripture. Because you are a son of promise. You are a child of promise. God spoke about you before you came upon redemption. And so the prophets had articulated, they had anticipated your arrival. And there is a scripture in the Bible that is descriptive of your possibility, descriptive of your identity. When God called me into ministry, he referred me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. I will read my piece to you subsequently, but if there is no scripture that you have found that is a definition of who you are still lost. And when people come to you to find out who are you, you will not be able to find yourself in prophecy. You will not be able to find yourself in the sequence of realities that are intended to come to pass unto the ultimate manifestation of the purpose of God in your generation. The thing about John the Baptist for which I would need us to do some Bible study, hallelujah, is this. Can you move with me to the book of Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. The utterance that came to unveil the identity of John the Baptist was that he was going to go forth in the spirit and in the power of Elijah the prophet. Even though this utterance was revealed to Elijah's father never, John the Baptist's father, never communicated this aspect of his encounter with his son. Even though John was already moving in the spirit of Elijah, he was already functioning like Elijah, but he didn't know his identity. Many of you sitting here don't know your identity. It will take a time of adventure in the spirit for you to come to a point where the Holy Ghost unveils what you are within the context of your generation. And if you lack an identity, if you have an identity problem, you are not likely to maximize your potential. Because in the case of John the Baptist, are you still with me? All right. In the case of John the Baptist, his identity was that he was expected to go in the spirit and in the power of prophet Elijah. So if you see John the Baptist, the way he, if you check Elijah's dress code, you will find out that John the Baptist was dressing like Elijah. So his dress code was a function of the endowment of God that came upon him. His dress code was a function of inspiration. His meal, his menu, which was locusts and wild honey, was a function of inspiration. He, just like Elijah, spoke truth to power. John the Baptist spoke truth to power. It was obvious that John had the spirit of Elijah. But you see, the lot of John, according to ordination and destiny, was that he would walk in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. So John the Baptist walked in the spirit of the light of Elijah, obviously. But John never walked in the power of Elijah. Because the Bible says that John did no miracles. If you have an identity problem, you are not likely to be able to fulfill your measure and achieve maximum capacity utilization. So just like those Levites came to John to ask him who he was, I'm asking you today, who are you? If you don't have an answer to that question, know that you are in a state of emergency. And I recommend an adventure in praying and fasting that should not end until you collide with your identity as it has to do with your purpose and your destiny in the agenda of God. When I was seeking for my identity, I went into 264 days of fast. I was eating only in the evening. Sometimes I'll just skip food for the day. So I don't know how many days I fasted dry, and the other days when I became too weak, I would take a little food. But it continued for 264 days. And after 264 days, my stomach was flat to the back. And that was when I proposed to my wife. I was skinny, like an AIDS victim. But my spirit was anointed. Hallelujah. It was still in that mode. I was in that fasting mode when my wife introduced me to her mother. And her mother didn't accept that she will marry me, because if you had seen me, you yourself will not accept. But you see, I was in pilgrimage. I was journeying in search of my identity in God. Yes, I noticed some grace. I noticed some stuff. I noticed the fact that God was interested in my life. But I could not give an answer to the question that John the Baptist was confronted with. Who are you? What will we say to them that sent us? And when you lack a knowledge of your identity, you will now be under pressure to compete with people. You'll be under pressure to use people as your means of knowing whether you are failing or not. Meanwhile, the Bible says, they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. Because the scale and the scope of your ordination and destiny is peculiar to you. If God wanted that other person, there would be no need for you to be created. But because your destiny is unique, and that's why God put you out here, and you will not, success is consistent with the degree to which you have realized and you have begun to implement the ordination of God for your life, which was set in motion even before the foundation of the world. So John the Baptist could not achieve maximum capacity utilization because he did not know his identity. He felt he was doing well. But you see, it would have taken the knowledge of what God has revealed concerning him for him to maximize his potential. Just like I told you, I began to seek the face of God. And then God led me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to invite you to see the picture of my life. The Bible is so vast, so current, so effective, and so deep that it captured you as an individual. And when you begin to find yourself, there's a scripture God will give you that is a description of your activity. When those prophets prophesied, God captured you into some of the prophecies. And your identity is actually part and parcel of one of those utterances that was spoken by the prophets of old. When Jesus came into the temple, he opened to Isaiah. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach. Okay, you're not with me. You're not with me. The young people can't connect. If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
Are you there? All right. Can we do Luke chapter 4? This is Jesus. Jesus brought himself out of scripture because the prophets prophesied about him. You need to know yourself enough to be able to bring yourself out of scripture. Because if you can't do that, you don't know who you are. You are studying engineering, but you are lost. You are without an identity. In the United States of America, you need something called social security number. Because if you don't have social security number, it means you are not on the database. You are in nocturnal. You can only walk free in the night. And many of us are still nocturnals. The database, you are not there because you have not secured your identity. I don't want to be a nocturnal. I don't want to be a night creature. I want to be able to be bold to engage my generation with the ordination of the grace of God that has been bestowed upon my life in keeping with the grand agenda of God for my generation. I don't want to have to be ashamed of myself. I don't want to have to try to gain meaning of who I am by watching other people. Because I am unique and God wanted me here and that's why he created me. You must find your signature. You must find your identity. And I seriously recommend the prayer and fasting regime to make you migrate in the spirit to that place in Christ where things are disclosed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now this is Jesus. Are you there in the book of Luke? Before I show you myself, I need to show you how Jesus knew himself so much that he could show you himself from the scriptures. Hallelujah. 16, Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He didn't open at random. When he opened, he didn't start reading at random. He found. When will you find? You might find out that you get involved. I've met people before. 60-something years, 59 years, and then at 59, they just discovered what they were supposed to be doing from the age of 22. May the Lord grant grace for you to find. He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fasting on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes? Sister, you have your own scripture. I have mine. I'm armed with mine. In the words of Jeremiah, the Holy Spirit showed me myself. And it's exactly what those scriptures have proclaimed. I am those scriptures made flesh. I am an expression of those realities. I live out those scriptures. When you hear that the word of God was made flesh, that's what Jesus was saying here. This scripture has become a man. It is fulfilled in your hearing, in your sight. Have you translated any scripture to become a man?
Are you a represent? Are you the administration of any idea that God had conceived, that He revealed through the mouth of His holy prophets? Without a discovery of your identity, you cannot achieve maximum capacity utilization. This was what God spoke to me. Jeremiah chapter 1, before I make progress. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9 and 10, that's my story. And he put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in your mouth. Meanwhile, it is necessary for you to know that I was born a stammerer and I didn't have the ability to communicate. I was next to dumb. And somewhere around 7 years old, 8 years old, I had an encounter of glory. And it was then I knew I was a preacher of the gospel. In that encounter, I saw some angels from heaven. High warrior spirits I saw in that encounter. I don't want to bore you with the details, but it was in that encounter that it was disclosed to me that I was supposed to be one of the mouthpieces of God in the earth to bring His knowledge to the people of my generation. And I complained bitterly because I had a limitation. And that limitation, obviously, was something that God knew about. And He has refused to attend to the matter. So, how are you now saying that a stammerer will now preach the gospel? Have you ever seen any stammerer on the pulpit before? It will look like a comical figure. And when I was asking that question, a lot of things happened, but when I came out of the experience, I started regaining my ability to speak. And in the fullness of time, when I had the encounter that imputed this scripture to my life, that it just like God had to touch the mouth of Jeremiah, God touched my mouth. And when He touched my mouth, He said to me, I will not only make you speak, I will give you utterance. And utterance happens to be spirit-energized communication that relates the heart of God to the heart of man. That was how I became a preacher of the gospel. He touched my mouth. The same kind of surgery that He did on Jeremiah, He did that on me. Oh, yeah, He did that of me. It doesn't matter where I'm standing. I'm standing in Malaysia, standing in Ghana. The crowd is 1 million people, 10,000 people. I don't see the people. You know what I see? I know God touched my mouth. God touched my mouth. God touched my mouth. It came to pass that the executives of the current Benue State government, they invited me to speak to them one day. I knew they would not invite me again after that because of what the Lord put on my heart to decree to them. It was a prophetic message that was to give direction to that administration. Hallelujah. And you know my confidence when I was standing before them. He had touched my mouth. That message was a bomb. And obviously they did not obey the message. And that is the reason why the state is in the condition that it is now. Not because there was no insight, but because they were not willing to subscribe to the wisdom of God. But they will never forget that preacher. Because it was not by the intelligence of man that I did my communication. It came through spirit-energized communication. So just like Jeremiah had to undergo some form of spiritual upgrading exercise by the touch of God on his lips, I had the same experience. And then he put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over nations. We are talking about apostolic authority here. I've set thee over nations. I've set thee over kingdoms. They can do their own local elections and elect governors, elect presidents, elect their kings. But I set you over nations. That's the kind of thing that happened in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. And Herod was determined to put Peter to death. And on the strength of human authority, he had sentenced him to a maximum security prison, waiting for after the feast of the Passover, so that he can be made an open example. And it came to pass that another governmental outfit began a kingdom activity called prayer. And that kingdom, it happens to be that prayer is only powerful when it is consistent with the will of God. It's a major kingdom activity. So this governmental activity began to take place within the same territory. And it came to pass that the people that were, the guy that was set up and put in the maximum security confinement, maximum security prison, he was brought out of prison without paying bail money. I remember I was preaching during the lockdown last year, and police came with handcuffs to arrest me with a van, and they were showing the handcuffs and doing like this with pistols. The kingdom I represent is not of this world. So we don't fear men, we don't fear the authorities of this age. We are called to bear witness. We are called to reveal a kingdom that has a king that is immortal. Someone that did not come into power by election. I come to proclaim his glory, his kingdom, and his majesty. So the police came to arrest me. Hallelujah. And I was still preaching, and I was on the pulpit. I was on the pulpit preaching. The law of the land was that there should be nothing more than 30 people in a building. We were 12 people in the building. I was conducting a wedding. The groom and the bride that were there, the members of their family to attend the wedding were selected, and we were exactly 12 people. There was no need for the police to come threaten nobody, because we were still within the confines of the law of the land. And they thought that maybe when they shake the stuff, then I will now become afraid. Oh my. If you have seen what I've seen in the spirit, if you have seen it, you will know there's nothing left to fear. If you have seen what I've seen, the human being that is breathing, taking in oxygen and bringing out carbon dioxide, cannot be the object of your fear. Guess what? After the police did what they did, the next day I was still on the pulpit preaching. You know why? They are not with me now. If you don't know your identity, the policeman can stop you from preaching. The reason why I started the lockdown, and I preached for 80 days straight. Some of you know now. I preached for 80 days straight. The reason why I started the preaching, daily preaching, was because I woke up. Meanwhile, I just came from the office and I went to visit my family, because I used to work in Gombe then. So I came to Benue State to visit my family, and then everywhere was locked down. The states were locked down. I couldn't go back anymore. So when I woke up in the morning, I said, wow, how are we going to do this thing? Then suddenly a friend of mine, a prophet, he called me. He said he just had an encounter now. And in the encounter that he had, he saw me with a white horse. I rode on a white horse, came to his office, and I was proclaiming the things of the kingdom. That there are two things that is about to happen to me. One, God is about to give me speed, and the speed that God will give me is tied to my preaching. You understand that? It's tied to my preaching. It means God wants me to preach. So I started preaching. And then on the Was it on the 12th day of the preaching? The police man came. The one that instructed me to preach. The police can't win. So when they finished doing all, the next day I was still there. We were still less than 30. We were still in conformity with the law of the Lord. Don't think we are rebels. No. We understand that kingdom people, the Bible says, against such there is no law. No law of any nation, not even in Saudi Arabia, can convict a true kingdom man. The only reason why they may convict him, it may be on the basis of his interaction with his God, which no nation has the ability to regulate. Do you understand that? That is beyond the scope of leadership in society. And that was the only ground upon which Daniel was convicted. So the next day I was on the pulpit. Because I know that what God wanted to do was tied to my preaching. When we got to like the 20-something, 30-something day, another policeman came again. Guess what? I didn't stop until 80. Police people became tired of their mad pastor. Because I know that I was supposed to be preaching. And anything that is going to oppose me from preaching, my God can take care of it. I have no doubt. I have no doubt that He will take care of it so that I can continue preaching. And as I preached during that lockdown, God used that platform to minister to a lot of people I would have never met in my entire life. Do you understand that? That's how kingdom people operate. They operate by a conviction of what their God wants them to do. And that becomes their preoccupation. So just in case you still lack an understanding of the identity of who you are, we're going to have a problem. It says, see, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. And I was telling you the story of what happened in the book of Acts chapter 12. The king had put the chief apostle in stocks. And then the brethren began a government initiative, a kingdom initiative called intercession. And when the intercession began to build up, it came to a point that the intercession commanded the release of a mighty angel. When that angel came into the court of him that was kept under the highest security group in that nation at the time, there was no need for the angel to do anything physical. His natural presence in that cell was what made the chains to give way. And Peter thought he was in a vision. And the angel told him to put on his cloak. He didn't want him to come out as if he escaped. Put on your glasses. Put on your eyeglasses. You see, we're taking a walk. It was a majestic exit. He didn't tell him, oh, no, we don't have that. He said, just put your cloak on. I know you are about to leave your cloak behind because you are in a hurry to leave this place. We are not in a hurry. You take your time. You can shake your body in the place. And when they came to what was supposed to be the major challenge, which was the iron gate of the city, the Bible says it opened at its own accord. Another government was at work that made the government of Herod to look inconsequential. And in the fullness of time, the same Herod now came to give a speech. And that angel had not yet gone. He was still hovering through the territory. And as Pharaoh was giving the speech, he now said, this is not the voice of a man, this is the voice of God. And cherubs are angels that are very jealous for the glory of God. And if you insult God, the cherubs or the watchers are the angelic entities that will insist that you are punished. And it was on the insistence of the cherub beings, the watchers, over the territory of Babylon, that Nebuchadnezzar became a beast for 7 years. So those, the angel was still in town when this man began to exalt himself, and the angel felt jealous for the Lord. The assignment of the angel was to bring Peter out of solitary confinement and to set him at liberty, because his time was not yet. He was not necessarily sent to deal with Herod. It was Herod that pitched himself against God. Herod would have lived, but he pitched himself against God at a time where a zealot, a spirit that was a zealot, was around. So the angel now added to his services. Touched Herod, and Herod's career was cut short. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom. It is above Herod's kingdom. What was working in the landscape was superior to Herod's government. And so God was telling Jeremiah, I have set thee this day above kingdoms, above nations. Those days when I was still working in the oil industry, some politicians, they came to consult me. Maybe because of the mercy of God on my life, in the area of the prophetic, politicians come in the night. They won't come in the daytime. Under darkness, they will come to consult if they should go for to contest in this election. What do you have to say? And they know I don't collect money from them, so I'm not afraid of you to tell you the truth. So they came to meet me in my workplace, and as they were coming in to sit down, I saw a rooster. That's a male chicken, the one with that crown. I saw it and I said, Lord, what is this? He said, can't you see that she's crowned? Oh, then I understood. Then I said, okay, you came here because you wanted to contest for an election. Go, you will win. She went and lost and came back to me. I said, you have not lost. Go to court. I'm still seeing that crown. There's a witness here in this place that he knows the story and he knows my prophecy. I said, you have not lost. Are you sure? I said, go to court. She went to court and won. Alright? Wasn't it your INEC that gave somebody else? But I know that I have been set above kingdoms. It's my calling. They might conclude on your life and I come and say, no. You see, where I'm speaking, I'm not powerful. Where I'm speaking from is the place of my ordination. That's the kind of thing the grace of God does through my life. And I know it. I say, no. It's not. It's not going to happen like that. Because he gave me authority above kingdoms, above nations. We went to Ghana, I think it was in the month of August, or I don't know the month. And they said, in that month in Ghana, when you are doing church meetings, you don't use drums. You know what I'm talking about? Are you aware of it? You don't know. Oh, in that month is a month that is dedicated to the witchcraft of the nation. They dedicate that 1 month. Out of 12 months, they dedicate that 1 month so that the witchcraft people will not be marginalized. So that's their own month. So the nation sits on a delicate balance. The demons that are fragile can come out. Don't distort the delicate balance on which these demons will have their parade. So we were supposed to go and preach, and they told me quietly, sir, there will be no drum now. And I know my calling. I cannot yield to that instruction. If not, some faculties in my calling will be lost. If you don't know who you are, you will sell out. You will sell out. Yes. So we came for the meeting, and when we came, the first person I signaled was the drummer. I said, we have the drummer there. Meanwhile, my instrument is the strings. I'm not so much of the drum, but because there was a drum matter, we had to activate the drummer. And God did amazing miracles that made the people running the facility not to remember that we're using drums. The miracles were so mind-blowing that nobody remembered that drums were part of our worship experience. You will bow down to anything if you have no identity. You will change your shape so many times because you have no identity. And as powerful as John the Baptist was, he did not know who he was in heaven's scheme of things. Now you are young. You are young now. And you may not know what is important. But if you don't secure your identity now, you will be wrong. You might find that, okay, maybe you may end up in business and you're doing well in business. You're doing well here, you're doing well there. The emptiness that will haunt your soul because you are not prosecuting purpose is not something that someone should ever experience. And that's why one of the investments that you need to make at this time is to begin to adventure towards the discovery of your identity. And when God reveals your identity to you, he normally attaches a scripture that describes you, so that you, like Jesus, can say, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, because these words have been made flesh in me. I am the administration that God has put in place to reveal this scripture, to fulfill this scripture. I am the administration. Hallelujah. So, turn your Bible. Joel chapter 2. Verse 4 and verse 7. Joel chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 7. Joel chapter 2 gives us a graphic picture of the end time army. And it happens to be that we are in the tail end of the end time as we speak. And Joel was an attempt. Chapter 2 was an attempt to unravel to us what the end time army looks like. It means this is a description of our corporate rank, our corporate expression. This is a picture of the corporate outlook of the body of Christ as the Lord makes us more one with each other so that we can wage a more global warfare against the dominion of darkness. And in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says that this end time, a metaphor was used to unveil the identity of these functionaries that have been conscripted to be part of God's army in the end time. This is the account thereof. The appearance of them is like the appearance of horses, like horsemen. So shall they run. The first identity of the end time army is the identity of the race horse. There are four species of horses in the family of the horse. And the first among them is the race horse. And the Bible says that the appearance of them is like the appearance of horses. And like horsemen, so shall they run. It was a race horse that prophet saw. That he spoke to me about. I don't want to go into details, all right? Like horsemen, so shall they run. One of the things that is typical of the end time army is a speed that makes the kingdom of light overtake the kingdom of darkness. And it doesn't matter how much ground the kingdom of darkness has gained in a particular place, in a particular family, in a particular territory, in a particular nation. The technology for speed, for overtaking, for recovering will be downloaded in the end time army expression. Just like it was in the days of Elijah, where the Bible says that the hand of God came upon Elijah and he ran ahead of the chariots of Ahab. The chariots of Ahab were drawn by four healthy, powerful horses. And Ahab had a head start towards Jezreel, but the Bible says that the hand of God came upon Elijah and he ran ahead. That's the resource. There is an anointing that will give the body of Christ speed. Give us capacity, give us momentum. And it is on the strength of that anointing that the ends of the earth will bear witness to all nations. Because the Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all people, and then the end shall come. It's the response that is in manifestation. So the appearance of them is like what? It's like the appearance of horses. And like horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of the chariots on the tops of the mountain, so shall they leap. This is the show horse. The show horse likes climbing the mountain. That the show horse is the most beautiful horse. It's not good with racing. It's not good with warfare. It's not good with strength. But it is for show. And in this end time, one of the things God wants to do is to show. He wants to showcase the church. And that is what is in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 10. Can you help me with Ephesians chapter 3? Ephesians chapter 3 quickly. On the screen, verse 10. Oh my God, where's my technical man? Ephesians 3. Ah. The technical man is on break. So, just turn your Bible. Let's check that scripture out. Ephesians chapter 3. He said, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So God wants to show principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, his manifold, irresistible, unconquerable wisdom. And he's going to use the church as the theater to manifest these dimensions of his. That's the show horse. It means that you must come to a point in your life and your walk with God where your intimacy with the Holy Spirit will reach ahead such that the Holy Spirit will be able to pioneer tributaries of expressions of his capacity through your life. Because God wants to showcase the church and to use the church as an instrument to confound principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. If you go back again, it said, like the noise on the chariots of the chariots on the tops of the mountains, so shall they leap. Like the noise of the flame of fire that burned the stubble. That's the wild horse, which is the stallion. How many of you remember Union Bank? On their logo is a horse. Is that true? That's the wild horse. That's the stallion. The stallion is the only horse that you cannot ride. Because you can't tame it. You understand? Even the zebra too is a stallion. Have you ever seen anybody riding a zebra? You can't tame. You can't tame. You can't put that stuff around his neck. No, you can't. I'm talking about people that circumstances can't control. You saw how much effort the police put in place to tame me. And the idea was that I should not preach. Because the only thing I did wrong was that I was preaching. According to the law of Benue State, 30 people alone are allowed in the hall. And we were 12. And they came with handcuffs to pick the pastor. It was because someone that is our neighbor, that is close to where we are holding services, was the one that called them and said they are holding service here. Because the person hates us with passion. We were in a fasting and prayer, and he, according to him, he claimed he brought his mother from the village to come and stay with him. Where we were in the heat of fasting, praying tongues in capital letters. That kind of tongue. Then the mother died. So the guy now said, we killed his mother. I have a name for what happened to, for what the mother is. I have a name for it. And those kind of people, what we carry affects them. And even though it was not time for us to analyze the causes of our death, anyway, I kept quiet. But he believes that we use spiritual means to exterminate. To exterminate the mother. So any occasion he has to set us on the edge is something that he goes for so gladly. And he formed them to. And they came to the place, and we were not up to 30 according to the law of the land. But maybe because, maybe he had paid them and insisted that, okay, something. I didn't stop. Because you cannot tame the stallion. The stallion can only hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. You put him in stocks and put him in chains, just like Paul was put in chains. It was there in the prison. He wrote what we call the epistles of Paul. That means he needed time off. And he didn't have money to afford the hotel, so the prison was an option. And it was from that prison he said that even though he's bound, the word of the Lord on his lips is not bound. And there's that is document that he collocated in the prison, traveled until it became a document that you are using for reference now. It means Paul indeed was not bound. It was the government of the day that taught they put him in stocks. But the word of the Lord in him has traveled not just from the prison, traveled into how many generations? Until you today are still inspired by his work in the Lord, then we need to know who was in charge. Who was really in charge? The person that put him in prison? He didn't even know what was happening. Because the word of the Lord could never be bound. You can't tame the stallion. If you become strong in the Lord, the things that bedevil others will become stepping stones for you to reach out into higher heights of your destiny. You can't tame the stallion. The appearance of them is like the appearance of horses, and like horsemen, so shall they run. That the noise of the chariots on the tops of the mountains, so shall they leap. That the noise of fire that burned the stubble, like a people set in battle array. That's the war horse. And the war horse happens to be 4% of the horse family. That species of horses is just 4% of the horse family. But the war horse is the only horse that can run through fire. Every other horse, when they see fire, they'll back out. Even if a lion sees fire, it will back out. Wild beast, when they see fire, they'll back out. Only wild beast. The wild horse is the only beast of the field that is not afraid of fire. I pray that you will be a man of fire. That you will be a woman of fire. This is the identity, the graphic illustration of the identity of the end time army that is given in the scriptures. This is a description of you. There is a speed that God is going to put on your life because you have grown the seedlings of his spiritual capital in your heart so that you become an agency by which people are infiltrated. An agency by which the gospel of Jesus people are encountered. Oh my. And there is something that God wants to show. He wants to put you on display. He has been walking on you in the closet. Then he puts you on display and makes you an ensign so that nations will look upon you and principalities will be taught wisdom. They will have to upgrade when they see your life. Because your life is such that they don't have the tools, the apparatus to manage you and to stand against you. So you become a lecture. See, principalities will have to study you as a subject. Okay, how is this one doing this now? They have to study you because it's a two-day intent that unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be written by the church, the manifold wisdom or God of God. The first indices of identity is what we call assignment. I want to show you the indices of identity. It's what we call assignment. Assignment. What is your assignment? Those are the things that in your spare time you need to live. When you relax on break or there's a strike, you rejoice. And then go into fasting. You need to see, the Bible says it is good for a man. Now, and I'm telling you this with a body. You can only do now if you know how much dye I put in my hair to make it black. You know, I'm not as young as I look. Okay, so I'm just informing you. I have to put the original dye. A time will come, this is your black hair that you have. It will become, if you pray on it, it will become even more wise. Hallelujah. You learn how to somersault now. Because it is good that a man bear his yoke quite long. In the spirit that you need to subject to. Don't be vague. Your engineering certificate does not have any authority. Does not that. Solitary confinement is taught. 1 decade of my life was given to the Bible. I've lived for 4 decades. 1 was given to the Bible. Are you with me? Another decade was given. 2 decades was given to intercession. I've lived more than half my life as an intercessor. Yes. So I can tell you the destiny of nations. I can tell you what will happen in various cities in this country. I've been a watchman for a long, long time. My wife met me as a warrior. And instead of reducing, I've increased his strength. Yes. So when I enter into your sitting room, I can tell you what happens in your house. I can tell you the spirit that is responsible for the symptoms that happen there. And this one is just residual because of engagement. Those days on campus, I used to bully my friends. I would catch them from class. I said, let's go and pray. And I'll force them to. They were coming, they looked at me. And our playground had one dark spot. So they would pray, and go to the dark spot and then escape. When I'm on this spot, they will pray. They thought they were praying for me until we graduated. This year, the guy that escaped from the dark spot came to our ministry. He's a pastor too. He never knew he himself too. We end up being a pastor. In fact, I was the only one that was called. He's a pastor in Abuja. He came and told the congregation and said, we were playing when this man was praying. And now, we are trying to catch up. And he was saying that with gray hair. Yes. Look for the Holy Spirit. Look for Him and know His voice. A day will come, you will need to choose a husband. Sister, if that's the first time you want to know His voice, you will never hear it. You know, ladies now become enthusiastic about the voice of God when it's time to marry. You didn't know it will come. You were preoccupied with other things and how to look like this. Keep. There's nothing wrong with that if you can. May God open your eyes to know the priority. Every semester I bought a new Bible. And I begin to study from Genesis, Exodus, marking it. Before you know it, I've finished that Bible. Buy another one. About one day, my mother came to observe my studies in the night, because I start from 10 o'clock till 5 a.m. studying the Bible. She began to cry. She said, "My son wants to be mad." And she wept bitterly. So I stopped studying the Bible at home. It's when I go to school. Until my mom heard, because I was a preacher for 8 years and she didn't know. She heard me teach the scriptures one day. Not shortly after our dad died. She came to me and said, "When my husband died, I felt the only thing left for me to do was to die. But when I heard you preach..." Because people will go home and tell her, "Are you the mother of one Aroman?" Say yes. He said, "Your breast, that guy sucked their breast." And so people keep telling her that stuff. And when I come home, I was an undercover preacher. So when I come, I tune to the home mode. I see people sit there, I can touch their bodies and the sickness will jump out. But I will not be asking, "Have you tried chloramphenicol?" "Have you tried it? It works." So she doesn't. She's confused. Old women will come and say, "That boy, you produce that one." She now said, "What is it about this guy?" Until she saw me preaching one day. And I didn't invite her. It was one of those women that I said, "Hey, we have seen the picture on Facebook. This city went and arranged and brought my mom there. And the prophetic spirit came upon me so terribly that night. Do you know that for 2 days my mom didn't talk?" 2 days. So she asked, "Why did I keep it for?" I said, "Were you not the one that cried that I should not study my Bible? Meanwhile, my calling has to do with the Bible. I'm not called to tell stories. I'm called to unravel the mind of God. In this day where there's so much, people come and just say, talk, and they call it preaching." He said, "No, you are not called to do that. One of the jobs of the apostle is that he lays the foundation. You must have the capacity to build foundations into the lives of men." I stayed on the scriptures consistently for 25 years. This year makes it 25. People were doing Champions League, doing other things. Some people knew the names of all the ladies in the neighborhood. I knew scripture because I know that is where my life will go. I knew more scripture than the chemistry I went to study in the university. I know my doctors in the university those days that wanted me to lecture, and they knew I had the mental capacity to be an excellent lecturer. So they said, "Why not keep this? This is your thing. Finish, and then you can go to it." I said, "You don't understand. You chose chemistry. This thing chose me. It chose me." He chose me until it came to pass. University, I went to preach, and there were doctors of medicine there, and I stood on the pulpit and told them, "Asthma is not a sickness." And the doctors laughed. I said, "I will prove it." Came down from the pulpit, we looked for some patients that they were managing, and I commanded asthma, go. The people began to manifest. Some of them vomited. And from that day, they stopped using inhalers. The doctors tested, professors of medicine. That's how they became my friends. I said, I also practice healing. So I can tell you from my own perspective a little thing about healing. Hallelujah. When you visit one of the professors, and when I came into his house, I said, there's a witch in your house. You know, I told you I have a gift. It's a gift of discernment of spirits. I picked it up because of my labors as an intercessor. I said, there's a witch. And while we were praying, the housemaid began to manifest and speak by demons. He was somewhere in the chair. He now discovered that his extensive knowledge didn't prepare him for life. You can have extensive knowledge in psychology, but you are not prepared for life in Lagos. Because according to Jesus, life, ordinary life, is supernatural. And that's why he said, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. So, supernatural signs were the identity that Jesus gave of Christians. How much of the handle of the supernatural do you know? You think your certificate in psychology will change the world? You're wrong. Look for the Holy Ghost. He is the only one that knows the way through the wilderness. And he will take you to a path you never knew existed. If you can hear his voice, you have all the prosperity that you need. Because the psalmist said that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He knows where to lead you. Sometimes when he wants to really help you, he will even make you have a third class. So that your options are not many, you just depend on him. And watch what he will make out of your life. And I'm telling you now, look for the Holy Ghost. Sorry, what I was able to do was just my introduction. You know, we teach for 4 hours, for 7 hours. I've done that. So that people can know the way of our God. Now I have 13 more minutes to go. In these 13 more minutes, I want to give you a gift that will help you. I pray you will take this message and go and listen to it again. And prepare yourself for the things that are to come. For many things there be that will come in our time. But if you are fully galvanized and empowered by the Holy Ghost, you will be able to prosecute destiny. In a moment of time, we want to ask, you want to tell the Holy Ghost, I want to be your friend. He's the only one that knows the way through the wilderness. Can you address him in prayer? I want to be your friend. Oh, I can hear you pray. Your prayers are weak. Your prayers are weak. Your prayers are weak. Seliko praske falamande. Jai kom menisko bresko felama suka bresko minazeni. Jamontese cumbre bombo sacapalanto, Maicos queso samalanto, Brisco falama, sico brisco vele manteli, Mabroconse sali combra babadasi, Brocotomina curia seco braze zomente, Cufe labacusa hebrosco petama. I want to be that friend of the Holy Spirit. That friend of the Holy Ghost. Can you speak to him right now? Speak to him right now. Friend of the Holy Ghost. Friend of the Holy Ghost. Friend of the Holy Ghost. I want to be the friend. Friend of the Holy Ghost. I am ready. to go on the adventure that it takes to stumble upon him. I am ready. I am ready to go on that adventure. I am ready to go on that adventure. I'm ready to stumble. I'm ready to stumble upon his reality. I am willing to know him, to pay the price, so that he will be my helper. I need help in my navigation. I need help in my advancement. Presto feneto compe la mina curia menetes cosa sante mata poco forte presta feli mata pronda sisa sale colia emus che sa santo la toque saco tombre mesco felima meliso seria meliso salato risco manteli la corresso combo troppo pata banseli la maha in sosalama e compresso. I am willing to go on the adventure. On that journey that is meant for sons in the kingdom of God. The time of trip that God ensured that Abraham walked in, he said, get thee out of thy comfort zone. I'm going to take you to a place. I will take you to a land. I will take you to a place where your destiny can be supported. My soul from the army. Sikwa brisko falama santa baburi. Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Listen. 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 And I beheld in the spirit. And I saw the angel of the Lord. And this angel that I saw was holding a lamp. And the Lord says to me that this lamp is a gift. But it's a gift that will only operate when you are asleep. It's a gift of revelation and discernment. And God, through this gift, will show you things that you can never see at face value, so that you can become wise by the Holy Spirit. And there are two people in the congregation that are going to receive this gift. And as I speak right now, the Lord is already looking, He's already touching them. He's already touching them. He's already touching them. I see a lady in the congregation. I see a lady in the congregation. You are putting on a garment that is, I see something like, something close to red. And the fire of the Holy Spirit is coming upon you. It's coming upon you because God wants to use you as His vessel. There are two evangelists in this hall. And the fire of God will descend upon you. Descend upon you. Will descend upon you. Will descend upon you. Grace will come over your life. Stila kombre skufe la mantali. Brekombe skufe sele koria. Brahma tata yantos kesho salamu. Yes. Someone in the congregation, before the count of seven, you will be given the ability to see open visions. Open visions. Open visions. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Your capacity in the spirit will be multiplied. Your capacity in the spirit will be multiplied. Suddenly the hand of God will become strong upon you. The hand of God will become strong upon you. Suddenly, 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 the hand of God will become strong. Will become strong. Yes, whereas before this time, prayer used to be a struggle, but there is an empowerment that is coming. There is an empowerment that is coming upon you, so that prayer for you will become a cruise. A cruise. A cruise. A cruise. For those of you in the Lucky Church that are viewing online, there are two of you right there that the anointing of the Lord will descend upon with so much intensity. The hand of God will descend upon you with, oh God. Oh. Oh. Salimonde kenze ibo. Ramekete kabesula mateli. La compela. Secapato compali. Brasco peketala. Umbo sano sakata. Recompele. Zeli kumaya. Brayes compela kuda. For a little one shall become a thousand. And a small one shall become a strong nation. A strong nation. The least among your numbers will become as strong as David. I come see Lamagaya. Blessy Kombela. Mahatambos Kokelaski. By Kombes Kopeta. Pokotoli Tababaha. Abba Somenada. For from among them shall come the sound of thanksgiving and the noise of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few, and I will glorify them, and they shall not be small. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon your heads. And they shall proclaim gladness and joy and sorrow in the morning. It shall flee away. Aye! Spoke about Ram, Rai Conteste, Rico Pato Deskom Bali, Lama Sumi Inde, Abraham Nesko Felemato. Locotoria Kataski, Sakompane, Eko Salamundaria, Abate Skome, Abate Kampatwa, Itabresa, Abo Matale, Matasokelabo, Reskombaita, Akabeskude, Leku Patuata Kampelata, Zekabeskombela, Abenuka Patala Babokola. Ah! Lament Pose 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 Lament Pose
Sakosa is compelled. Selicum bascusa. Every kete. Mapra cope sacunda. Maitos abarata. Liasande combre scubalama. Bocotola. Embrecatola. Embreca suma ketia. Blasca suca. Pesosomi. Emamamamamamam. Oh! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Now, those of you on this row, just raise your right hand and be ready to receive. Be ready. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, show me those ones that you want to anoint here. Let your hand come upon them. Let your hand descend on them. Let your hand descend. And descend on them. Now, those of you here, this room. Spirit of supplication, spirit of intercession. Let it locate this, the people. Let your hand descend on them. It's coming strong, so strong. Let your hand descend on them. Let your hand descend strong. Let your hand descend strong. Let your hand descend strong. For those of you that are here, you can raise your hand. Impart the grace for spiritual sensitivity to the people of this room. Let your hand descend on them. Let your hand descend on them. Let your hand descend on them. Coming stronger, coming stronger, coming stronger. Coming like fire, 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 coming like fire. Holy Ghost, 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 Holy Ghost. Now, those of you here, come join me, because I have only 3 minutes. Now, if you desire anything for your ministry. Your music ministry, that you will grow to a level where the whole world will hear your voice. If you have such a desire, tell him now for 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. It's an overwhelming flame. An overwhelming flame of God. Thank you, Lord. Our souls excited, lo compre, mandes quiso salamanda. Rasque copa tu alamais, candes otro. In the name of Jesus. We're down for something magnificent, something generational, and let your anointing descend. It's coming now. Let it descend stronger. Let it come upon you stronger. Like a flame, like a fire, like a flame, like a flame, like a fire, like a fire. like a fire, 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 like a fire. Holy Ghost! Move!